Welcome back to the show floor here at MongoDB.local London. That was great to have Matt and Peter on before us. Now, this is live, so it's a slight change to the advertised schedule. We were supposed to be talking about Kubernetes. We still will. But Luce is no longer the host. I'm the host, and Luce is the guest. Luce, you're very welcome.
Why, thank you. Thank you for demoting me from host to guest. This is going to be a fun one. Do I know much about Kubernetes? Not massively, but...
You know more than I do anyway, which is the main thing. That's why I'm the host. Every now and then, okay. That's what the co-pilots are for. We'll get into that, right?
We will, yeah. So just touch originally on what our guests were going to talk about. So I said it's Kubernetes. So there's a talk on it later if you're actually at .local London at, I think it's 1:30 p.m. There's a session on this multi-cluster Kubernetes support we've introduced. So if you're here, definitely go and watch that. Other people, if you're watching online, the recordings will be available later. But it's just basically bringing together the resiliency that you get with MongoDB and the resiliency that you get from Kubernetes and just bringing it together so you can have multi-cluster support. Because obviously resilience comes from multi-cluster, Kubernetes. I'll be honest, I know more about Docker than Kubernetes.
Okay,
that is about
fair enough.
I know about...
Other products exist.
Exactly, although I still question how much I know about either. But basically, it's just a really great... This kind of like new support is a really great starting point and integration. And so absolutely make sure to follow up on that content, because it just brings together the scalability and resiliency that you get from both of them together. And we, as I said, there is a talk later on if you want to watch it and look out for recordings. And that's about as much as I know about Kubernetes, but...
It's okay.
Well, yeah, that's the announcement of the day, though, that we have support for multi-cluster support Kubernetes now.
Well, I think obviously, further to the 8.0 announcement, scalability, reliability, performance, for us, Kubernetes and Docker, we need to be in these ecosystems to make, as we said and Sahir said in the keynote, developers' lives easier. It's about taking away the mundane tasks and letting them get on with what they're skilled in doing, which is creating the best applications, right?
100%. And so as a developer advocate, I write code on an almost daily basis, but I'm an expert beginner. I do not consider my...
You're doing yourself down now, Luce. And in fairness, I've seen some of the stuff you put together.
Yeah, maybe. And I appreciate that. But for me, this whole mantra that we have of build better apps faster and loving our developers is so true. And I just love all the things that we're seeing coming out like that. So having these things together alongside the other tooling announced at in the keynote, just amazing. For me, it's like, oh yeah, you can get started. You can use it to learn. It blows my mind.
Now, you were speaking earlier this morning in one of the other breakout rooms, Luce. What was the topic there and how did that go?
Oh, it was great. So it was a hands-on showcase demo about our developer tools. So literally getting the chance to stand there and show people, if you're a developer, these are the different ways that we're trying to make it possible for you to develop where you're at. So if you prefer an IDE or you prefer VS Code or you prefer using GUI tools to manipulate your data, you can do it in your way. We try to bring all those tools to people. So showing off things like the generative AI and natural language processing stuff that we've got in Compass now and even in Chart.
It's really good. Charts was great, but you needed to know your way around. Now the natural language stuff, like make me this chart to show me the brilliant.
Yeah, and because you can actually do, and Charts is even more powerful than you think. That it's not just the visualization, it's also... You can do pre-processing before you do the visualizations. Now, aggregations and things like what you'd use to do the pre-processing the same as you would with a normal aggregation pipeline. Can't write those. Natural language processing is great. Like, I've used it for all sorts of things. And the other thing that excites me as well, which is related to Charts a little bit, is the announcement that we had from Melissa and Max, I think it was, it might have been Sahir, about block processing.
Yes.
Because I have an hour ring on my finger and I've actually got code that will get the heart rate from the API and then put it into a cluster and then Charts points to the cluster so that I can see my average heart rate and how it's been going.
You'll have to check today's heart rate now on the live streams, Liz, see how that was.
But this is further. We're just hanging out. Like, we're just hanging out with people online, with our friends on the internet, talking about stuff. Like, that's all good. But certainly block processing and being able to do like ongoing average rather than having to calculate it will be amazing.
So this morning, you were talking about the developer tools. We saw Melissa and Max go through Copilot. and what they've done there. That's amazing.
Oh, it is. And because we didn't want to spoil anything to the keynote and we wanted to say, well, that, I actually couldn't talk about it.
Okay, so you knew this inside and you're
I've been playing with.
Wait for an hour.
Yeah, yeah. So I knew all these things and it was brilliant because as well as being a developer advocate, I'm a Microsoft MVP and a very proud one.
Mm-hmm.
But it means that I've had the privilege of having access to GitHub Copilot for a long time. And so I know how powerful and amazing it is. And so seeing, and hearing about the being a launch partner for the new extension, the extensibility program, and then having an extension and we had to play with it, it's incredible. But I couldn't tell people about it. So that was very exciting.
And when did you first start using Copilot?
Maybe a year.
Okay.
A bit longer. I was actually very, very lucky as well. It won't sound lucky in the first sentence I'm about to say, but I broke my elbow last year. One of the things that I was able to do, so I didn't keep working because we worked somewhere that was like, just take medical leave, it's okay, you can't really work. But I was bored. And Copilot for a while had Copilot voice, which meant that I could actually talk to it with a microphone and tell it what I needed and try and code that way.
I have not tried that. Wow.
It was one of their projects. It wasn't even in public preview when I got access to it. They just gave me some rough and ready code. So I think it's one of their projects that didn't go forward, unfortunately, because there's other ways that you can do it without needing Copilot voice. Like there's built-in stuff for Windows that will do it. But certainly, yeah. So for me, Copilot has played a big part of my life, not just for writing code, the chat, and using it to help me refactor things, but also all the other things you can do with it. So seeing this extension, I'm like, oh, this is great.
And how much of your code writing have you at least the genesis of it offloaded to Copilot to give you that base then to which you're refining and
honestly, quite a lot. It's a mixture of laziness, imposter syndrome, and efficiency.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know how to do some things, but it's like, well, I can either write 3 words and say, make me this, and then it will just write it for me, or I have to write out the whole thing.
Yeah.
And we're busy people, you know, it's a co-pilot, it's there to help.
It's amazing to have watched the trajectory of all the code assistant tools over the last 18 months or so. So Copilot exists, but MongoDB have been involved in training Amazon Code Whisper originally,
which is
now
Amazon
Q.
Yeah, I demoed that this morning as well. Yeah, so that was another good one. So like you mentioned, we helped train it. So those of us in Dev, I remember doing it last summer because I had to drive to Scotland with these. I remember it because I had to finish submitting my .NET sample client code and I got to a hotel at 9 p.m. in Bonnie, Scotland. But yeah, so we got to train it. So obviously and they work kind of differently. So with Amazon Q, we actually provided them data to use to train their LLMs. And so naturally out of the box, you get MongoDB considered best practice stuff. With Copilot and the extension, obviously, you can add MongoDB. And then as you saw in the keynote, you can do slash commands like slash query and then use that to talk basically essentially under the hood. It talks to a MongoDB server somewhere that then gives back the information. So you're getting the best, which is, you know, no matter which tool you use, you're getting the best of us and our best practice, and the best advice we can give. It's just how it works under the hood.
All of these have been trained on all of the code and content that we have in our docs. A lot of the code and code examples that we have in our developer center, and then obviously the publicly ingested repos and things that they found as well too. So from that point of view, and we've been testing them, we use them, and you know, so we can vouch for a lot of these tools, and they just keep getting better.
Oh yeah.
We also talked about IntelliJ in the keynote as well too.
We did, yeah. So as you heard in the keynote, like I mentioned, we've been working with JetBrains on bringing. So obviously, as I mentioned, we've always had the database integration, but now they're bringing it and making it even more powerful with this plugin. So they started with IntelliJ. So I've tried that out, and it's as great as you saw. It wasn't any smoke and mirrors in the keynote.
Good.
Like genuinely, it was an excellent plugin. So I'm hoping they bring it to Rider next, because as a .NET developer that uses a MacBook for work, I love Rider and their products. And so seeing it in IntelliJ, like as a .NET developer, I felt a little bit gross writing Java code, but I know how important it is in enterprise. There's many things in the world that runs on Java. So I think it's important that, Java's important, but it definitely helped me to try it out, to have it there, because I couldn't have tested a plugin without some help, because I don't write Java particularly. But yeah, I'm excited for it to come to Rider, hopefully, and just play around with it and see what it can do, because... Yeah, like I say, I use a MacBook for work, and so the best IDE for .NET on a Mac is definitely Rider. Obviously, you've got VS Code and a .NET, a C# DevKit extension now, which brings an almost IDE-like experience into VS Code. But I still prefer to use Rider just because of some of the extra functionality. And so I'm really excited to see what happens with that.
Okay, well, look, the real story is, regardless of what IDE or developer tools that you want to use, MongoDB are trying to make it easier on all of the platforms. And, you know, every cloud is a silver lining. We didn't get to discuss Kubernetes, but you got to discuss the stuff you couldn't discuss at your presentation
that
this morning.
That is true, yeah. So thank you.
Luce, I know you've got some hosting later on as well, too.
I do,
so
very soon, actually.
Tune in on the live stream to have Luce back as well, too. But for now, we'll take a short break when we've got a guest from a company, Covi.co, join us to talk a little bit more about how they're using RAG and Vertex Search. Awesome.